QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, plus offset of 600 kilohertz, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KO6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KO6Q. Marty, only announcement I have here is that the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club monthly meeting is coming up. It's on this Saturday. Saturday after Thanksgiving, tech hour starting at 5:30, general meeting at 6:30. That'll be at the Big Bear Lake Fire Station down there in Big Bear Lake. Sunday, same place, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We've got a ham test session. Got a couple people coming in, but we do have walk-ins allowed. Always do that, so anyway. Hope to see you there if you're getting ready to upgrade or if you know somebody who's ready to take that step. Send them our way. All right, also tonight, we're pulling our article from QST December issue, page 45. And that is on HF antennas. This will is basically directed out there for anybody with a general class or above license. Vertical or horizontal HF antennas. Well, they're both out there, which is the best? What works for you? And good points and bad points of each. Sometimes you just got to put up whatever you got room for. Starting that up here in a minute, but let's do our roster. And first on the roster is WB6CLZ Mike.
Good evening, Tom, and everybody listening on the net tonight. This is WB6CLZ in Placentia.
Good evening, Mike, and thanks for helping me with this every week. Is Cindy out there, WB6CIN?
Good evening, Tom, and everyone on the net. This is WB6CIN.
And good evening, Cindy and Mike. Thanks for being out there. How about KA6CIA George in Lucerne? Nothing heard out there from George. How about KE6RJ and KE6QI? Harry and Nancy.
Now, good evening, Tom. KE6RJ and KE6QI here. Sugar.
Good evening, Harry and Nancy. Thanks for being out there. Let's see, next on my list here, I have KJ6HZS. Mike. Nothing heard out there from Mike. How about WA6ITC Rod?
Yeah, from Mike Williams. And we're ready for that ground rod. WA6ITC.
Oh, good deal there, Rod. Rod, and Rod needs a ground rod. Hi, hi. Okay. All right, no more jokes. KJ6FIL, Mike in Redlands.
Good evening, all. KJ6FIL.
And good evening, Mike. Thanks for being out there. Let's see, how about KJ6KDL Jim and KJ6KDK Rosemary and Sugarwolf.
KJ6KDL here with
KJ6KDK.
And good evening to the both of you. Thanks for being out there, neighbors. All right, let's see here. Moving on down. I don't think Frank's with us anymore. So let's see. Let's go down to K6GVL Ron from Green Valley. Nothing heard out there from Ron. How about 86PL Harold?
Evening, 86PL.
Good evening, Harold from Riverside. Thanks for being out there. Oh, I don't think we're going to get him. We'll give him a holler, though. He might be busy. K6LCS Clint. I don't think we'd catch him out there. He's a very busy guy lately. How about KJ6PYV, Dave?
Good evening, Tom and the net. KJ6PYV.
And good evening there, Dave. Thanks for being out there, neighbor. Let's see, next I have K6YNW, Chris. Nothing heard out there from Chris. How about W6POO, Chip? Nothing heard. How about KD6LEN Bill from Boulder Bay? Everybody's getting ready for Thanksgiving, that's what it is. How about WA6DLB Donna? And nothing heard. How about KJ6QYN Shelly?
KJ6QYN Shelly, Mobile and Apple Valley. Good evening, Tom.
Well, good evening there, Shelly. Thanks for being out there. I think we got a lot of people getting ready for Thanksgiving, so I can understand them not being out there this evening. Let's see. Next I have AE6CK Victor. Nothing heard. KA6ROD Rod.
Good evening, everyone. KA6ROD.
And good evening, Rod. Glad to have you back. Appreciate that. How about KB6LTY Christy? Nothing heard. W6JET Rob.
Good evening, Tom and the net. W6JET.
And good evening there, Rob. Thanks for being out there. How about K9AOG Steven?
Good evening, Tom and the net. This is Steven, K9AOG with Ritzy in Long Beach.
All right. Glad to have you both out there this evening. Appreciate that. And let's see. I think I got one more name here on the regular list. Let's see. KJ6RAY Ray. Nothing heard. Ah, we had a visitor last week. Let's see if he's out there. NQ7RD, Rick. Nothing heard from Rick. Good to hear him, though. He was out there. Haven't heard it from him in a long time. It's pretty much my list as I have it. Are there any other guests or visitors who would like to check in? All right. Well, I think everybody's out there getting ready for Turkey Day. Michael, before we get started here with our topic, any good news, bad news, or any news with DX? And also, what's our solar weather looking like?
No good news for DX on this end. I've been busier than the old proverbial hoot owl. Space weather, last time I looked, is reporting a sunspot number of 144 with a solar flux index of 134 solar flux units. It looks like the solar weather's picking up again, but you know, I'm crying the same old sword tale that we, we're expecting the peak or maybe a second peak. We had what they have considered a peak of solar 24, but I don't think so, and from what I'm reading, it's kind of iffy. But a while back when we had all that great activity for several weeks on 10 meters, but looks like that's not really what we're looking for. It should be a little bit better than that. Anyway, that's my story. I'm sticking to it, and hey, Tom, let's see if anybody else played any DX and got any DX going, and see what they came up with. Back to you, Tom.
And KF6Q here, Tech Tuesday in the group, every Tuesday that we can. Anybody else out there real quick before we move on to our topic? Anybody with any good DX to report, please come back.
W6JET.
W6JET, Rob, go ahead.
Well, this isn't a DX report there, but those people that have a smartphone, there's an app called Ham Radio Handbook, and it'll give giving you the solar data. It gives you the band plan, the countries, and the Q codes for HF, which for CW there, which is kind of a nice app that you might use on the side there, maybe when you're portable or something like that.
Well, good deal. That's always great to have, and that is why we don't allow smartphone calculators at our test sessions. Hi. Too many answers there. Well, good deal. That sounds pretty neat. Pretty neat information there. Well, Rob, thanks for that. And is there anybody else out there with any little DX information or a little tidbit they'd like to add in there? All right, hearing done. Anyway, well, Michael, vertical or horizontal HF antennas. You know, first thing, I think we ought to, just before we get started in this article, point out there on 2 meter, which is VHF, kind of a different set of rules. And Mike, I think with vertical and horizontal, actually we have pretty much narrowed that down to totally different kinds of modulation. You want to give us a little background on that real quick?
I think I can handle that, Tom. Well, generally here on especially 2 meter FM, generally if we're using a repeater, we'll use, or for 2 meter FM, we will use a vertical antenna. We're going to be vertically polarized. That's the way the repeaters are. That's the way your cars, your mobile units are. Your handy talkies are vertically polarized. So that's the game we play on FM. On sideband and CW, then generally we're horizontally polarized. That's either like a dipole or a Yagi or, you know, something similar to that, halo antenna for mobile. Sometimes they used to use those. And that's the story. On this rig, I've got quite a bit of loss. I'm running a horizontally polarized four-element Yagi on this, trying to hit the repeater. But I put 75 watts out here, so it kind of overcomes the path loss, overcomes the loss that I am having for cross-polarization here. Go ahead, Tom. Take that and run with it.
Yeah, and I think what you're speaking there of the Yagi, the horizontal Yagi, kind of looks like a, well, let's say the old-fashioned TV antenna, which actually wasn't a Yagi at all, which was a different type, but looked kind of like that in that fashion with multiple elements laying flat. But anyway, you know, and with VHF, we're generally looking at 100 to 200 mile range in that, where the polarization is important. Vertical versus horizontal makes a big difference in that short distance. So it's kind of critical to be right on the VHF. But HF, now that's a different story. HF antennas, we could spit 100 miles, right? We're looking here on HF for getting out there 1,000, 2,000, 10,000, or 20,000 miles, however that may apply with some of the great conditions. So at that point, the polarization tends to go away a little bit at that distance. It's not as critical, and there are many reasons for that, but we'll deal with that another night. And right now, we just want to look at the two differences between the two. And Mike, I'd say first thing right off the bat, vertical or horizontal HF antennas. Well, because we're talking about HF, our antennas are a lot bigger. Kind of depends where you live, I'd say, right off the bat. Wouldn't that, because kind of how much space you have? Any comments on that?
Tom, space is one of the main things. Aesthetics is another thing. You know, if you have if you're an HOA or a neighborhood where they don't like to see ham radio antennas and such, generally then a vertical antenna is the way to go. I know we've talked here before about flagpole antennas and a lot of different stealth antennas, but basically it's because of the constraints of your area. I mean, on 75 meters, you're looking at over 100 feet for a dipole. So you can put a 45-foot flagpole up and kind of do a few tricks here and there, and you can actually work on 75 meters without having that much space. Kind of a basic. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I think right there in itself, I mean, if you're on a, let's say, a condo-sized lot, even if you don't have an HO, a homeowners association constraint, your lot itself just physically might be an issue with putting up that long of a wire. So, you know, a lot of people have gone to vertical antennas. It just basically sticks straight up. And you know, with that, you know, we look at that and say, well, let's see, so verticals are okay, but horizontal is better. Well, it all depends. Depends on what you're looking for there. And, you know, we're going to go over those issues tonight, and we'll start out with vertical antennas. I actually own a few vertical antennas, courtesy of Mike. They're currently horizontal. They're not up in the air, that's all. they're horizontal vertical antennas. Anyway, Mike, pulling from our article here, this is on page 45, Joe Hallis, W1ZR, great article here. What's one of the first things he's talking about here with the vertical antennas and the radiation angles?
Vertical antennas radiate at low angles, and low angles, if you're a DXer, if you want to get out way out there, get far, a low angle of radiation is great for DX. I mean, it's the way to go. And to get that, you could either, well, like my example, I have a Cushcraft R7. It's a trap vertical antenna. It's got its own kind of a radial system on it. I have added radials, which are wires in the ground, to it in my lawn, but it's mounted at about 8 feet is what they say optimum. So for a low angle of elevation, that is perfect and should work just excellent for DX. A couple of little issues though, Tom. You want to touch on a few of those?
Well, you know, and we're gonna do a couple things here with verticals. First off, couple of things we might mention. The vertical antenna is based on how the gain or whatever that it's going to have. When we say the well or the, let's see, the ability of it to radiate. There you go. Let's spit that out. Is based on the dirt underneath it, basically ground. If you're real close to seawater, oh boy, lucky you. Seawater, salt water, water, period. Excellent ground. And really great. If you're on the shore someplace, that's fantastic. I know a guy on Malpe, he's really close to all that water. A little joke there. Anyway, so yeah, if you have a lot of water nearby, that's great. But if you don't, then, and we're going to base that on that, just basic ground conditions, nothing really terrible, but nothing really great. And Mike, I think that really is one of the things right there that determines how much that gain is. We have an answer to that, and I think it's called radials. Do you want to touch base on that?
Radials really give you the best radiation pattern on a vertical antenna. It will not give you a really good radiation with low angles of radiation unless you are near salt water or have very, very good ground conditions. But radials can help improve that somewhat, depending, and they're additive, depending on how many you have, how much of a ground plane, so to speak, with the earth you have, makes your antenna kind of more efficient, and it makes it work a lot better.
And KF6Q here, Tech Tuesday, and the group every Tuesday that we can. Well, so essentially, I guess in the perfect world, if we had an acre of land and we could take an acre of sheet metal, well, that'd be kind of different, and just lay it out there over the dirt and have that antenna vertical in the middle, that'd be really great. Of course, we can't do that. However, the radials you're talking about are buried in the ground a lot, essentially coming from like spokes out of on a wheel, pretty much going out from the center. The more we put in, the better we get. Is that how that works, Mike?
You know, we can't reach the limit, and they do have to be a certain length. Mine particularly are approximately approximately. Certainly. There's a formula for that, which I can't pull right out of my head. But yeah, generally, the more the merrier when it comes to radials. And you have to put in an awful lot to reach the critical mass, so to speak, where it's not going to do you any good to put any more.
Yeah, roger that. Now I'm going to just take a stab in the dark here that it's probably close to a quarter wave in length from the center out of the lowest frequency, or the biggest wavelength you're going to be dealing with. And I'd say, just as a guess, that's probably a shot from the hip. Probably something could be solid out there. Of course, I could be wrong, but that's probably a good guess. So, well, anyway, that's pretty neat. Now, what kind of angles are we getting off this thing? I mean, what is considered a really good angle, and what angles do those vertical antennas have?
From what I'm seeing here, 5 degree to 10 degree elevation is just about with a perfect ground is probably what you're trying to achieve for DX. It can make quite a bit of difference depending on the quality of your ground. They give an example here of a base height that's 60 feet, but then they're talking about a 3 dB reduction at the angle, but I'm not really sure what they're talking about there, Tom. Maybe you can enlighten me to that point.
Well, what we have here, if you have a really good ground, and you want to take advantage of that, and you can basically be mounted just above, I mean, we're talking inches above dirt. But however, if your ground is not the greatest, you could get up in the air, and what'll happen is that without having that great ground, it's going to be less effective. And the difference being 3 dB is basically between the perfect ground and what you have. So it could be a large amount if you're right down on the dirt. Get up in the air a little bit, that difference between the two isn't going to make a lot of difference. Anything by going up higher, it's just the difference between the two becomes less. So it's going to be what it is. So, but anyway, that's pretty good. And like I said, the 5 to 10 degrees, really great for DX. And it looks like from some of these charts they have there, like 10 to 15 degrees out there with the typical radiation pattern, pretty neat. Well, anyway, well, that's the vertical. And let's say you do have the option of a horizontal. Let's get into horizontal. And what's the main thing, the main add we get from going horizontal? Besides the vertical it being omnidirectional, all directions equally, horizontals aren't. But what do we get as an add with the horizontal for gain? Back to you, Mike.
Horizontal antennas have what they call a ground reflection gain, and I guess that's typically 6 dB, and that kind of gives them up a little bit more of a gain than a vertical antenna. But the downside there also is that it's not omnidirectional like the vertical, so you're kind of getting that 6 dB gain off the size of the antenna if it's a dipole, and if it's an inverted V or something like that, you're getting the direction of radiation on the slanted side of the antenna. It's not the broad side like it would be with a vertical. Back to you, Tom.
Right, and for those of you out there listening in that are not familiar with dB, 6 dB gain, effective gain that is, basically you're getting this much more signal from, not having, this much more signal. That sounds confusing more yet. 6 dB means four times. So essentially, with this ground reflection, you're going to amplify from reflection off the ground. You're actually getting signals hitting the antenna, and then signals that hit the ground and bounce off the ground and come back to the antenna and add to the signals, hopefully, that just got there coming directly. So this add with the ground reflection, which is typically 6 dB, which means that for mathematically, when you add it all together, you get almost four times the signal coming in. And that's really great, but it's no longer omnidirectional. Now we're looking at off the wire points at the end, It's not too good. Like I say, that's a very, very big null. Broadside to the wire, great. And if you have an inverted V, I'll let you get out there a little bit more because of that inversion of the V, and you get out there a little bit more off what would be the ends. But kind of inverted V is kind of like a trade-off, I think, between the horizontal and vertical. So well, just sticking straight to the horizontal, it's going to have some good points, have some bad points. However, radiation angle, Mike, we're not too good here with the horizontal. Back to you.
Oh, not nearly the five to 10 degree that you're looking for. Radiation angles are, well, let's see if I can read this correctly, on the broadside pattern, not nearly as good. I don't see, Tom, anywhere here where they give the angle of radiation on this on the horizontal antenna. Maybe you can help me out with that one.
Well, it's hard to discern from the chart, but essentially they have over there in the third column, they're talking about this. That big 6 dB gain is not at that 5 or 10 degree angle where you'd like it to shoot out over the horizon and talk to the Ukraine or parts unknown. Unfortunately, that high gain is at an angle of 64 degrees. That's pretty steep. So, and that's not what you want for a long distance. There is a way to get over this a little bit, and we're going to get into that in just a second, but that's one of the downsides there. But a lot of us do use this, and what we do is what? I think we raise this thing off the ground quite a bit, and the higher we go to a point, the better it gets. So I think we start getting up there around halfway of high, and we're pretty, or a quarter wave high, we're good. Three quarters, we're really good. Mike, what's the downside of that? I mean, 75 meters, whoa, we're going to be up there a lot. Yeah, give me some numbers on the heights of this thing.
Now let's relate it to my loop antenna, for example, which is basically a horizontal antenna. For 80 meters, which is what the loop antenna here in Placentia is designed for, we're at 130 feet. I mean, that's way up there. And now you can see why maybe I like to use 10 meters when it's open, because at 17 feet, which my antenna runs about 20 to 25 maximum, and at 17 feet, works pretty darn well. 10 meters, I get a little bit of gain out of it, and it is a little bit higher than optimum, but the darn thing works pretty well. But on 160, on 80 meters, basically it's what they call a cloud burner. Works really well out to about 400 miles. NVIS is the word I'm looking for. Works really good up to 400, 500, 600 miles, and then we start losing on the lower bands at that frequency. And anything over that distance. Back over to you, Tom.
And KF6Q here in the group. Every Tuesday we can. Well, I think, to summarize all that, essentially, the cloud burner part of a horizontal dipole, if it's not up high enough. Of course, if you start getting up higher, that angle starts to drop. You know, and that height is related to the frequency. So the higher the frequency, actually the lower the antenna can be off the ground and still work good. The lower the frequency, the higher it has to be, almost inversely proportional there of those numbers. And it's based on the wavelength, you know, and you want to get that thing at least a quarter wave up in the air. That's a lot when you're talking 130 feet. As a half wave, that means 65 feet or better. That's pretty high. And that would be for about the 75 meter band, 80 meter band. You get down to some of the higher frequency bands, like it's like 20 meters or 15 meters or 10. You don't have to be up so high, and effectively you're going to do pretty good. That's pretty neat. So, you know, if it all boils down to it, Mike, I think first thing is we got to find out what will fit, and then pretty much second thing would be what we're after out there. And summarize the two together and see which we're going to do. So what have you had the best luck with, Mike? Back to you, KF6Q.
I've had quite quite a few antennas over the years, and probably the best functioning antenna that I have had in as long as I've been a ham is the 160-meter loop antenna. A little bit more than 400 feet long, in a loop, kind of a square rather than a loop configuration, but it's only up about 20, 25 feet at max. So better on the on 15 meters, 20 meters, 10 meters, and 40 meters. The lower two bands, it works fine for what I do, but I'm not going to get any long haul DX on that. The other thing that has worked pretty well is a three-element beam. Works pretty good. We're not talking about Yagis today, though, but as a horizontal antenna, work out pretty darn well. But still, back to the loop, that's probably the best antenna I've ever had. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, and Mike, I think the loop in itself, of course, is kind of in another ballpark. Because of it's got a lot of added features, which are great. The horizontal part, you know, and the cloud burner part pretty much is the same with a, probably a little bit higher peak angle there, higher than the 64. We'd have to get into that, and that's a whole other topic in itself. But essentially, yeah, you know, that's just about it. I mean, if you have space, put up the vertical. If you don't, it's kind of an option there. If you're going to go portable, you're going to go mobile, you're going to set up a temporary site for field day, hey, maybe the best you're going to do is that vertical, because there's going to be a lot more work setting up that inverted V. So it all, you have to balance all that together. Either way, you're going to have a lot of good talk power out there. And, they, like I say, both of these have their benefits and their drawbacks. So anyway, anybody out there would like to comment or has a question, please come back to KF6Q.
86PL,
yes, go ahead, Harold.
I have about three comments. number one, Mike says he's using a Yagi over in Placentia. I'm in Riverside in my car. My vertical mobile antenna, the tip is 12 foot off the ground. I'm barely able to get most of what he's transmitting over here. So you get the conversion from one polarization to the other, you lose 14 dB. On your radios you stick in the ground or on the bottom of your antenna, there's supposed to be, what I've read is, for each band you're going to use on that antenna, at least two quarter wave of each band, and actually opposing the two matched, each set of matched radials. And I've read that two different versions. One is that after the first bounce on HF, you lose your polarization. It can be almost anything when it reaches the receiving antenna. And then another expert I read said that it's mixed, so it doesn't really make any difference which what you're transmitting with whenever it leaves your shack, as long as it's at the right angle and the right efficiency. AD6PL.
You know, that's a good point there as far as it losing pretty much, the polarization going away after that first bounce. I think that's one of the reasons why we don't worry too much about that with HF. VHF stuff, 2 meter, whatever, stuff on the low, on the higher frequencies, yeah, there's a big difference there. You will get as much as actually 20 dB loss. That's 1/100th of the signal between a vertical VHF and a horizontal VHF, from what I understand. So that's 100 to 1, or is a lot. But that's close in, and we start looking at HF going a lot further out. Yeah, it's gonna not be as bad because of the fact of the polarization kind of going away. Whole lot of stuff on that, a lot of theory of what happens out there. Too bad they're not, we can't see those radio waves. Boy, would that help clear, it might just make us more confused. Good points there, Harold, appreciate that. Anybody else out there, any comments or questions?
J-E-T.
J-E-T, Rob, go ahead.
W6JT, yeah. Most verticals, you'll get more noise on the single than you will with the inverted V or a flat top or something like that. I've used a flat top. Now I use a vertical V because the tree next door was cut down. But it works real good on the flat top I had. I was talking all the way down to the South Pole a few years back. But, you know, I use a mobile with an ATS, and I was sitting in the bottom of Yosemite Valley talking to Nevada. So it all depends on conditions a lot of times. And if you got a fairly good antenna, you're going to get out if the conditions are good.
Rob, real quick, when you were talking to Antarctica area, which hopefully that was one of those de-expeditions, and you were using a horizontal polarized antenna, was it oriented to that advantage? Was it pointing east and west, or do you remember?
It was a Russian base down there called Mirmy Base or something. And let's see, it was going north and south, basically. Probably off just a little bit, but pretty close to a north and south wire antenna, which was called a doublet extended ZEP, which is like 45 feet on each leg or 47 feet on each leg, and you come down the ladder line to a ballon. And it was up probably about 40 feet, 45 feet up in the air, maybe a little higher.
Ah, the doublet, or the double extended, well, not extended, double Zeppelin antenna, or whatever. There are a lot of different names for that. But anyway, I know what you're talking about there. Great antenna. I'm actually going to try to put one up here myself when I get all that extra time on my hands. But now, see, now this is the weird part. Pointing north and south, actually, you're going off the end of the antenna, and that's actually not the best for your gain. However, I'm going to just guess we're using 100 watts and hitting the South Pole?
Yes, just barefooted.
So that's incredible, and even on what we would call the null side, which is the ends of that, still incredible. And of course that ladder line coming down is for phasing, is what that does. So you all get fed in phase typically a ladder line of about, I'm going to say, quarter wave, I believe, is good for phasing. But we're not going to get into phasing issues tonight. Well, that's fantastic. And that's, like I say, that's just showing how, even on the null side, it's just incredible. I guess talking around the world is just not an issue. We pretty much do that all the time. So good information there, Rob. Appreciate that. Anybody else out there, any comments or questions or suggestions regarding the vertical and horizontal antennas and experiences that you have had?
K6GVL would like a late check-in.
Hey, there's Ron. Glad to have you out there, Ron. And appreciate you checking in. And any comments on that? You've missed a great thing here, but it's on page 45 of QST December, vertical horizontal antennas. Have you had any experience with that at all, Ron, on HF?
I just, about the best I've done with my dipole is Utah. And I've been trying, but just can't seem to get anybody that's much further than that.
Well, Ron, we're going to have to bring the antenna police, Mike and myself over there. We'll take a look at that. Utah, I know you should be talking further than that, but you know what? Probably something out there that's just keeping that from going all the way, but that's okay. Not a problem. Right now, happy Utah, I guess. So, anyway, anybody else out there, any comments, questions, or suggestions this evening on the vertical or horizontal HF antennas? Any experiences, please come back to Net Control here, KF6Q, Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater.
Now let's talk about diversity.
Diversity. Michael, go ahead, Mr. Diversity, Michael. Michael Diversity.
Hey, well, I know, Harold, you were talking. talking about when the signal can hit at either or hit your antenna at either a horizontal or as a vertical polarized signal. There are radios out now that have what they call diversity reception, and what you can do is you can listen in one ear with a vertical antenna and listen in the other ear with a horizontal antenna. You use your brain as a computer, and basically what it comes down is at the QSB, or the fading of the signal, some of that is attributed to the angle at which it hits your antenna. Well, if you have two different antennas, preferably one vertically polarized, one horizontally polarized, and are hearing signals as they hit the antenna in one in your left ear and one in your right ear, you can kind of use your head to basically use your brain to compute to where you don't get the fading. It's kind of a neat way to receive signals, and I do have a radio that does that, and it is really cool once you get it all set up and working right.
Well, good deal. That sounds pretty nifty. Nifty. There you go. That's another word. Well, anyway, that's, like I said, I'd like to experiment around with a lot of stuff. I think, from what I understand, like what Rob was saying there, JET, essentially you get, now we're talking about, you know, 6 dB of ground reflection gain. You get with a doublet, exact double ZEP, you get another, instead of 3 dB, you get off the dipole, you're getting 6 dB. So you add that to the other gain, and you're really, really going to jump out there. So, you know, like I said, though, for 75 meters, holy cow, you're 240, 250 feet long, you know, with a full horizontal flat-top dipole. So, however, if you're going to base that on 20 meters, you're going to be not too bad with that horizontal, so, and not so high up in the air, but, yeah, it can get very stretched out. I know there was a gentleman up there, Onyx Lance, had a, my gosh, well, he has 5 acres up there. So I think he had a 160-meter doublet or something. I don't know. Whatever he had up there was just incredible. But unfortunately, I don't think he's on HF that much anymore. Anybody else out there? Oh, Mike, as far as that, yeah, anything else you'd like to add to the diversity part?
Hopefully I explained it to where it's understandable, but yeah, very enjoyable for working like 40 meters CW. It works really well on that because I have the vertical antenna that'll work on 40 meters and the 80 meter loop here, so it works out pretty well. But yeah, it's just great when you get conditions where there's a lot of QSB and a lot of fading. It works out to where you don't really notice it as much.
Well, anyway, that's all good, and I think we're going to get close to shutting down Tech Tuesday for the evening. It's actually a lot of great information in just a single page, and there's a lot of good stuff about that. Hopefully, when we get back here after Thanksgiving, got some other good articles here. Mike, I see they have an incredibly cool article on your radio, the Elecraft KX3. Pretty neat. When let's see, and 6 meter QRP transceiver. Now, is it your setup with that?
Yes, QSL. You don't want to get me started on that one. I'll talk for 2 hours on that little radio. That thing goes with me wherever I take it. Yes, it does have 6 meters. Right now they're working on a 100-watt amplifier for it. In the works, they've got a 2-meter transverter for it. And then we'll go on from there, Tom.
Well, good deal. Maybe we can do this next week. I mean, they have a very lengthy article on this. It's really cool. It's a kit, but I don't think you have to solder anything. It's a mechanical kit from what I see here, at least is what they're saying here. Of course, it is expensive, but you know, I think they give you a chance to actually save a couple dollars putting a few things together if you're handy with that. So maybe we can talk about that in about a week. All right. Anyway, well, before we get ready to shut down Tech Tuesday here for this evening, anything else, last comments to add there, Michael?
I think we doubled, but hopefully you had enough power. Sorry about that. Yeah, Tom, I think we could twist my arm to go ahead and do that next week. Sure, you're on.
As you are a proud owner of one, we're going to focus on you leading the show on that. As I do not own one, but I think it's an awfully cool radio. And I think you've had a lot of experience with what you've had so far. Anyway, okay, we'll kind of earmark that. Anybody else out there, anything to add before we close Tech Tuesday? All right, well, I want to thank everybody for joining in this evening. And comments we have out there, great stuff out there, great information. So, but we're going to move out and move on here. So, QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q Net Control for the Tech Tuesday Net. We'll be closing the net at 1900 hours and 46 minutes. Once again, returning the repeater to normal or abnormal use. Thanking once again everybody for joining us. See you in a week. This is KF6Q.